to turn with me in your Bibles to Acts chapter 16. Acts chapter 16. And we'll be reading verses 6 through 15. But I want you to concentrate on 13 through 15 for our message today. Now, when they had gone throughout Phrygia in the region of Galatia and were forbidden of the Holy Ghost to preach the word in Asia. The Apostle Paul is on his third missionary trip here. After they were come to Mysia and assayed to go to Bithynia, but the Spirit suffered them not. And they, passing by Mysia, came down to Troas. And a vision appeared to Paul in the night. There stood a man of Macedonia and prayed him, saying, "Come over into Macedonia and help us." And after he had seen the vision, immediately we endeavored to go into Macedonia, assuredly gathering that the Lord had called us to preach the gospel unto them. Therefore, loosing from Troas, and we came with a straight course to Samothracia, and the next day to Neapolis, and from thence to Philippi, which is the chief city of that part of Macedonia, and a colony, and we were in that city abiding certain days. And on the Sabbath we went out of the city by a riverside, where prayer was wont to be made, and we sat down and spake unto the women which resorted thither. And a certain woman named Lydia, a seller of purple of the city of Thyatira, which worshipped God, heard us, whose heart the Lord opened, that she attended unto the things which were spoken of Paul. And when she was baptized, and her household, she besought us, saying, "If ye have judged me to be faithful to the Lord, come into my house and abide there." And she constrained us. I want to speak to you this morning on the effectual call of Lydia. And I have divided this message into four parts: the working of providence, the universal call of the gospel, the effectual call of the gospel, and the fruit of the effectual call. So first, I want to consider then the working of providence. It was providence, the providence of God, that brought the Apostle Paul and Lydia to Paul to hear the gospel. The preaching of the gospel and the audience that hears it is in no way a random event. The preaching of the gospel and the individuals to whom the gospel is preached is predestined by God. God, in His sovereign government of all things, has ordered in His eternal decree those who preach the gospel and those who hear the gospel. He has set in order from eternity the time, the place, the preacher, the people to be participants in this great ordinance of preaching. All the events of providence are ordered by God to effect the salvation of His elect. Let's take Paul for example. Paul would not have gone to Philippi and would never have met Lydia except for their intervention of God's providence. He didn't want to go to Europe. He wanted to preach the word in Asia, as we've read. But the Holy Ghost forbade Paul to preach the word in Asia. And when he was at Troas, a vision appeared unto him where a man of Macedonia stood and asked Paul to come over to Macedonia and help us. God was calling Paul to bring his missionary effort to Europe for the first time. And Philippi was his first stop in Europe. So Paul, accompanied by Silas and Timothy and Luke, immediately left Troas by ship and sailed to Neapolis. Philippi was one of the chief cities of the province of Macedonia, and it was the seaport, or Neapolis, was the seaport for the city of Philippi, about 10 miles away. So when Paul reached Neapolis, he traveled 10 miles north to Philippi, and that was the city where Lydia was staying. And God brought Paul to the place where Lydia was. Philippi was a Roman colony. It was a military settlement. The Romans used to populate conquered towns with their own citizens from the military to ensure their control and loyalty to the city, or of the city. And therefore, the citizens of Philippi were predominantly Roman citizens and ex-military. And Paul arrived in Philippi a few days before the Sabbath. Now, as you know, Paul's method of evangelism, when he entered a city, he went to the Jewish synagogue on the Sabbath day, where he preached and reasoned with them out of the Scripture. That was his manner and custom. However, in the providence of God, there were too few Jews for a synagogue. And thus a handful of Jewish women would meet at the riverside, at the place of prayer, on the outskirts of the town, on the Sabbath day. Lydia was a Jewish proselyte and kept the Sabbath. She was most likely a widow at this time and had come to Philippi on a business trip. But this is what brought her to the riverside. It would be the first place Paul would visit to evangelize, and it would result in her conversion. God sent Paul to preach at the riverside, and it was no accident. It was foreordained before the foundation of the world. Now consider the providence that brought Lydia to Philippi. She was from Thyatira, a city in Asia Minor in Turkey. It's one of the seven cities of Revelation. She was a textile merchant, a businesswoman, a seller of purple, as we're told. Thyatira was famous for its purple-dyed fabric. She was a woman of means. And she would never have visited Philippi except for the textile trade. And she would have never gone out to the river unless she was a Jew, a Jewish proselyte, and sought to worship God with the other Jewish women on the Sabbath. What was it that moved Lydia to bring her rolls of purple cloth across the sea to Philippi at this particular time, at the moment that Paul was visiting Philippi? It was all in the providence of God. It was the Lord in His ordering of all events that brought the Apostle Paul to Lydia and Lydia to the Apostle Paul. For in the eternal counsel of God, it was predetermined that Paul and Lydia must meet. Their paths must cross. The woman from Thyatira must go to Philippi, and Paul must go to Philippi as well. Neither Paul nor Lydia knew what God was about to do, but God knew. When anyone hears the gospel preached, it is no accident. It has been decreed by God for that time, at that place, for those hearers. Have you considered the number of providences in your life that have worked together to bring you here today? Has He brought you here today to meet with you, perhaps to convert with you, to convert you, to open your heart? Could it be today that God would indeed open your heart and that you might receive the gospel of grace? How encouraging it is to contemplate the sovereignty of God and His providence. Now, having looked at the working of providence that brought Paul to Lydia and Lydia to Paul, I want to consider now the universal call of the gospel. In verse 13, Luke records that Paul and his co-laborers went out of the gate of the city by the riverside where prayer was wont to be made. The Greek language indicates a place of prayer, prosuke, probably some enclosure in the open air. It was the Sabbath, and Paul and his co-workers were seeking a hearing for the gospel. This was the place where the Jewish women gathered, a place of prayer and worship. And the Apostle Paul deliberately selects this kind of people who would be most likely to hear the Word of God, worshipers of God, people who prayed. And Paul is judicious in his choice of the first place he would select to preach the gospel in Europe. Now, the author, Luke, writes, "We sat down," Luke being among them, "we sat down and spoke unto the woman." The verb to speak is in the imperfect tense, which denotes that the speaking continued for some time. They were engaged in dialogue and conversation. And it's interesting to note that they sat down with the women, perhaps on the rocks on the river's bank. This was not formal preaching. It was not like Paul standing before the Areopagus. Paul began just by having a talk with the ladies at the place of prayer. He sat down and had a friendly talk with the women who resorted thither. Luke records, "We spoke unto the women." He includes himself. Paul was not the only one that was speaking. So this was somewhat of an informal presentation of the gospel. Now, the gospel message was not just directed to Lydia, but all who were there. They spoke unto the women. And this is a general call, a universal call of the gospel that summons all its hearers to faith and repentance. This is typically referred to as the external call, the outward call of the gospel. The scriptures clearly teach that the gospel must be preached to all. It is a general invitation to sinners to enter into the kingdom of God. The universal call of the gospel is free. And it's unrestricted. It comes indiscriminately to all its hearers. There is no age, no race, no gender, no color, no nation that is excluded. Christ proclaimed, "If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink." Any man, to all. All are invited to come and drink of the waters of Christ. Everyone is invited. Every man, every woman, boys and girls, all are invited to come to Christ. Again, Christ proclaimed, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." We're to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature, to teach all nations. That's the commission that Christ has given to His churches. This is the universal call of the gospel. For the preaching of the gospel of God's great means of grace by which He saves sinners. So we've looked then at the working of God's providence. We looked at the external call of the gospel. And now I want to consider, in the third place, the effectual call of the gospel. We note that at the riverside, at the place of prayer, only one woman is singled out as responding to the gospel in faith, Lydia. Nothing is said about the other woman at the riverside. Luke tells us what happened to Lydia. He says, "Who heard us, whose heart the Lord opened, that she attending to the things which were spoken of Paul." In perfect tense, heard us. That is, she was really listening. She kept on listening because the Lord had opened her heart. We're also told that she attended unto the things which were spoken by Paul. The verb attended unto means to hold before one's mind. It denotes a devotion of thought to take heed to what Paul was saying. The gospel had gripped her attention because God had opened her heart. God had effectually called her to respond to the gospel message. Now, if the Lord had to open Lydia's heart that she might respond to the gospel, then it stands to reason that her heart was closed to receive the gospel before that happened, in her natural state. Outwardly, people can appear to be religious, moral, worshipers of God, but we do not see what lurks in the heart. But God sees all and knows the deepest recesses of our heart. Everything is naked and open to Him. The Bible tells us that the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? The heart is deceitful, and man likes to think of himself better than what he really is. The reality is that the natural state of man's heart is totally depraved. This means that sin has corrupted and permeated man's entire being. All the faculties of his soul, the will, the mind, his affections and emotions, his conscience, are all corrupted and permeated by sin. The Bible indeed says that man is dead in sin and trespasses. He is a spiritual corpse with no ability to believe in Christ. How can a spiritually dead person respond favorably to the gospel call? It's impossible. Unless God changes the heart of the hearer, he or she will not respond in faith. This is the natural state of man's heart. Lydia's heart was closed before God opened it. Before the Lord opened her heart, she had no desire to come to Christ. She could not and would not come to Christ in faith and repentance. While in her natural state, the state of a closed heart, she had no ability to believe in Christ. Lydia was content in being religious and not dealing with her sin before God. This is the case for all sinners who hear the gospel. Human beings are by nature unable to respond to the gospel call in faith and repentance. God sovereignly moved on Lydia. He opened her heart and enabled her to truly believe in Christ. He made her take heed to the things that were spoken by Paul. And unless God by His Spirit opens the heart of the hearer, thus enabling him or her to believe, he or she will never accept the gospel call. Wherever a heart is really opened, it is the Lord who opens it, and He opens it by His Spirit. Now, this The theological term for God opening the heart is referred to as effectual calling. What is effectual calling? Well, I'll quote out of our catechism. Effectual calling is the work of God's Spirit, whereby convincing the sinner of his sin and misery, enlightening his mind in the knowledge of Christ, and renewing his will, God persuades and enables him to embrace Jesus Christ freely offered to him in the gospel. You see, in this context, then, effectual calling is identical to regeneration. The opening of the heart describes regeneration. God opens the heart by imparting spiritual life into the soul. And without being born from above, without the spiritual life being imparted into the soul, you can't even see the kingdom of God. In opening the heart, God breaks the power of reigning sin. Being a slave and in bondage to sin, that is broken. The natural hatred and animosity towards God and His truth is removed. God removes satanic blindness and illuminates the mind so that the spiritual things, the things of the gospel, the message of the gospel, are clearly and spiritually understood. God restores in principle the image of God, which was lost in the fall. And hence the sinner is made willing in the day of His power, in the day of God's power. This effectual call is irresistible. The effectual call is so powerful, Bobbing said this, that it cannot be conquered, and yet so loving that it excludes all force. It is God who makes the sinner willing in the day of His power. God's effectual call is invincible. Well, some say, I don't believe God made us a puppet. I don't believe God makes us act against our will. That's not the point. We would have never willed to come to Christ. It's God who opens our heart and makes us willing to come to Christ. Now, how is effectual calling related to the external gospel call? The preaching of the gospel is God's means of grace to save sinners. It's a general call to all who hear it. And the gospel is preached to all men without a distinction, without discrimination. Wherever the gospel is preached, the call goes out to the elect and to the reprobate alike. We don't know when we preach the gospel. We don't know who is God's elect. But this is God's means. However, it is not effectual unless it is accompanied by the sovereign operation of the Spirit of God. God gathers His elect out of the world through His effectual call. And He calls whomsoever He pleases in the eternal purpose of God. Only the elect will receive Christ by faith. The external call is also for the unregenerate, who, when he hears the gospel without the regenerating grace of the Holy Spirit, will reject it. But whether the hearer responds to the summons of the gospel or not, whether they accept the call or reject the call, God will be glorified. For the gospel is the sweet Savior of Christ, in them that are saved and in them that perish. To the one, it's a Savior of death unto death. God's judgment, God's righteousness, God's holiness will be glorified. And to the other, a Savior of life unto life. God's goodness, His mercy and grace are glorified. So to the one it's the Savior of death unto death, and to the other a Savior of life unto life. So God opened Lydia's heart. He effectually called her to Himself. And that brings us to the fourth part of our message, is the fruit of the effectual call. And although we cannot see the operation of God in the heart, we cannot see who He effectually calls out of the elect, yet we can see the effects and the fruit of it. John writes regarding the work of the Holy Spirit in chapter 3 of his gospel, "The wind bloweth where it listeth," speaking of the work of the Holy Spirit, "and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh and where it goeth. So is every one that is born of the Spirit." We cannot see the work of God in the heart of man, but we can see the effects of it. "Thou hearest the sound of it." We can see the effects of the effectual call. It bears fruit. So in verse 15, three things are mentioned about Lydia. First, she was baptized. She publicly committed herself to Christ. She submitted to the ordinance and the command to be baptized. She identified with Christ publicly in His death, burial, and resurrection. And this was a testimony of her obedience to Christ. Second, she shared her faith with her servants or household. She led them to faith in Christ and baptism. And by the way, this is the first time the baptism of a household is mentioned in Acts. There's no evidence whatsoever that this included infants, and it cannot be used in support of infant baptism. Throughout Acts, baptism is based on personal faith and commitment to Christ. And there is no reason to believe otherwise in household baptisms. The term household in this context simply means the servants Lydia brought over with her to Philippi on her business trip. To read infants into household baptisms is simply a presupposition, and it can never be proven by Scripture. But at any rate, the third effect was Lydia's insistent hospitality to the four missionaries. She says, "If you have judged me to be faithful to the Lord, come into my house and abide there." And she constrained us, four of them, Luke and Timothy and Titus and Paul. So she was quite hospitable. She opened her home to these missionaries, and she was insistent upon it. And more than this, she allowed her home to be the gathering place, the designated meeting place for the entire Christian community in Philippi. If you look at verse 40 of chapter 16, after the conversion of the Philippian jailer and the release of Paul and Silas from jail, where do they go? They went out of the prison and entered into the house of Lydia. And when they had seen the brethren, they comforted them and departed. So here is the beginning of a local church meeting at Lydia's house, and Luke refers to them as the brethren. So, when that vision appeared to Paul, and there stood a man in Macedonia and said, "Come over to Macedonia and help us," the first conversion would be to a woman. The first place he went was to the women of worship at the riverside. And Philippi would become a very precious church to the Apostle Paul. So, Here is a great instance of the sovereignty of God in the salvation of man. The effectual call of Lydia. Might it encourage you in the faith? Our Father, we thank you for this account of Lydia, and especially how you open the heart of Lydia. Pray this in Christ's name. Amen. If you think about this, when were you made willing to come to Christ? If you have a desire to come to Christ, if you want to come to Christ, if you struggle with your conscience and the guilt of sin, you know, this is not the natural state of man. Man suppresses the truth of God in unrighteousness. Maybe if you experience these things, God is opening your heart. You think of it that way. Because man would not come to Christ to have life. If you desire Christ, if you want to be a Christian, if you struggle with the guilt of your sin, perhaps God is opening your heart. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved.